The Shakers, religious dissenters who danced their passions away, settled in New Hampshire almost 200 years ago. Set on a hill a few miles north of Concord, Canterbury Shaker Village is one of the oldest surviving religious utopias in America. While much has been made of the Shakers' golden period during the early 1800s, few have considered their more recent history. In the first part of a four-part series, Catherine Curtis reports on the two Shakers who are left to tell their community's story, Sister Ethel Hudson and Eldress Bertha Lindsay.
But despite her 92 years, Bertha still loves to sing.
When I first came down to work in the office kitchen here, Sister Josephine was the head trustee, and I was singing away down there and singing away, and then I thought, oh dear, I shouldn't be singing because they'll hear it upstairs, so I shut the door. And she comes down, she said, what is this kitchen door shut for? I said, because I was singing and I thought it would annoy you. She says, keep singing, dear, keep singing. It won't annoy us. It's beautiful for here.
Today at Canterbury, there is no young Shaker to listen to Eldress Bertha sing and to hear in those songs the wishes of God. The only one left is Ethel Hudson, and like Bertha, Ethel believes she will be the last one, the last Canterbury Shaker to survive.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free.
Wonderful. Keep going.
For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
These are two determined women with very different stories to tell. Eldress Bertha is the spokeswoman. It is her responsibility to explain to the world the ways of the Shakers. They are ideas that take some explaining, for Shakers reject much that most of us accept. They believe that an ideal life is a celibate life, that property and family ties lead to sin and dissension, that God is both male and female, and that war is never justified. Bertha thinks that the Shaker message has much to say to the world's people, and so she sits at the village entryway and personally greets many of the 45,000 visitors who pass through Canterbury Shaker Village each year.
I hope you all enjoyed the tour. Learn a lot about the Shakers. I feel now that I am the representative of those that have gone before me. I've got to be the best one possible.
Now, Sister Ethel takes a somewhat different approach to her role as history maker. While Bertha is out shaking hands, Ethel Hudson, she calls herself the Pepper Shaker, finds the crowds who circulate through her village unsettling. She's 4'9", looks much smaller, claims to weigh 80 pounds, and makes no bones about what she wants and does not want to do. And as for interviews, well,
I'm tired of doing this. I've done it for so many other people. I'm an old lady. I'm 93.
Though they are different, there is much that binds the two Shaker sisters. And on Sundays, weather permitting and a volunteer available, Ethel makes the trip several hundred yards down the old stone path to visit her sister in religion. For the two have shared an extraordinary experience. They have lived nearly a century as Shakers, and they have watched as their lives became history and their community a museum. Bertha Lindsay arrived in Canterbury in 1905, following the death of both her parents. Ethel came in 1907. Her parents were divorced. At that time, there was no state system to care for orphans like Bertha and Ethel. Fewer adults were joining the Shakers in search of salvation, and so these homeless youths were a potential source of converts for the sect. Historian Brad Fletcher has worked at Canterbury Shaker Village for more than a decade.
And by the early 20th century, they're taking lots and lots of children. And I think it's because they recognize here's a need we can fill. This is something that gives us a purpose and a mission. And it has to do with the fact that it's mostly a sister's community by then, too, I think.
For women, Canterbury Shaker Village had a special attraction. An unmarried woman without a family had few prospects in that era. Eldress Bertha Lindsay says that Shaker Village offered her a way to live a religious life and at the same time explore her own talents and potential. Sister Ethel says she chose to stay at Canterbury because of the security and love she found there.
I used to love to go and stay with the older sisters. I'd clean the rooms and fill up the wood boxes. And, you know, yeah. They used to say, you love me? And they'd say, if you want to be loved, you must lovable be.
But what attracted Ethel drove many others away. By the 1920s and 30s, most young women raised by the Shakers chose not to join the sect. They remember it as almost an old lady's home, no place for a young girl in her 20s. But what Ethel and Bertha seemed to have recognized was that Canterbury was a very special sort of old lady's home. For these were aging women who put in a full day's work in the kitchen or over the sewing table into their 80s. And these were women who painted and sang and raised bees. And these were women united by a spiritual vision of the world. The spirit has passed through 9 generations of Shakers to Bertha, and she says this end, this time of few Shakers, was prophesied by founder Mother Ann Lee.
It was through James Whittaker that she gave the prophecy that this would diminish until it would get down to as many as a child could count on one hand, and then there would be a revival of the spirit of Shakerism.
Ethel is not so sure that the Shaker legacy will endure. She looks at the buildings that show signs of age, and she says this is not the way the Shakers kept their buildings. She wonders if the spirit can survive once she and Bertha have passed on. Perhaps there is truth in the visions of both these women, one a skeptic and one a believer, and perhaps somewhere between their two visions of Shaker life lies the real Shaker Village, a place as varied and variable as the many who've lived here in the last 200 years. For WEVO News, I'm Catherine Curtis.
For Christ the Lord has